I would like to dedicate our learning to Sara Chaya Bat Dani HaKohen. During Pirkei Avot, we're in the first chapter, the 16th Mishnah, which is really the last Mishnah in this chapter. And the Rambam, it's the second to last Mishnah, but there's a very long Rambam in this Mishnah, which will teach us many important things about speech. In the Mishnah, Shimon, the son of Rabban Gamliel, says, Shimon Bno Omer, Kol Yamai, he says, all my days, Gadalti Ben HaChachamim, I grew up among wise men, because his father was a great rabbi, his father was Rabban Gamliel. Velo Matzati Laguf Tov El Ashtika, and I found nothing good for the body other than silence. The best thing you could do is be silent. Velo Midrash Waikar El Amase, and deriving things, just learning things out, isn't the main point. You got to perform what you learn. You got to keep what you've learned. And whoever speaks too much will ultimately bring about sin. Says the Rambam, Kvar amar hachacham, the wise man already said, the pasuk in Mishlei, Berov devarim lo yechdal pasha. If you have a lot of speech, you won't be able to leave out sin, rebelliousness in the speech. And the reason behind this is, most things we say are superfluous. They're unnecessary. And they're sinful. As we will explain now. For when a person speaks a lot, he will undoubtedly sin in what he says. Because certainly, amongst the things he will say, there will at least be one thing that he says that is not fitting to be said. Umisimanei chachamim, says the Rambam, and one of the signs of someone who's wise, mi'ut hadibur. You want a sign of someone who's smart? See someone who speaks a little. Someone who speaks little, that's a sign that he's smart. Amru, our sages taught us, Siyag lachochma, a fence for wisdom, is shetika, silence. That's in Perikimel. We'll see it later on in Perikei Avos. Veribuy advarim, and speaking a lot, misimanei haksilim. That's one of the sign of fools. The pasuk says in Koheles and Ecclesiastes, v'kol ksil berov dvarim. The voice of the fool is because he says a lot. He has a lot to say. V'chvar amru hachachamim, and our sages already said, ki mi'ut hadibur moreh al kvod hamishpacha. Our sages say that when you find people who speak little, that's a sign of how honorable that family is. Ve'yot adam yuchas, and that shows that the person comes from good lineage. Our sages taught us, amru me'achsuta shtikuta. Good lineage is seen by the sign that they are silent. Amru b'sefer hamidot, they say in the book of traits, which they say is probably an Arabic work of traits, they say like this, she'echad hachachamim nireh she'merbeh b'shtika. There was a wise man that they saw that he's silent often. Ad she'lo haya mdeber la me'at me'od. So it reached a point that he'd say very few words. They find him talking very scarcely. Amru lo madu ata marbeh lishtok. They said to him, why are you silent so frequently? Amar, so he said, bachanti et hadibur, I analyzed speech, umtzativ nechlak l'arba chalakim. I found that speech can be divided into four different sections, four categories. Achelek harishon, the first section, dibur shu kulo nezek bli shum toelet. Speech which is all harm and has no benefit. Kigon kilat ne'adam, for example, cursing people, v'divrei nevala, or foul mouth, speaking vulgarly, v'chayitzeben, things like that. Shadibur bazeh shtut muchletet, that he who speaks like this, that's complete foolishness. So the first section of speech, something that you only lose from, that's cursing, foul mouth, etc. V'achelek hashini, and the second type of speech is dibur sheyesh bo nezek mitzad echad v'toet mitzad acher. Speech which on the one hand is harmful and on the other hand is beneficial. Kigon, for example, l'shabech adam kedei le'enot mimenu. Praising a person because you want to gain something from him. And when you praise him, you're getting his enemy upset. I was once in a car with a man who was divorced and his second wife. And there was an old lady in the car. And she starts telling the guy, "I can't figure out why you divorced your first wife. She was such a nice woman. Why'd you ever leave her?" So, oh yeah, she's praising this other woman. But she's rubbing salt in the eyes of the second wife. And really, a person who praises someone, the Rambam's example is a case where you're praising a person in front of his enemy, and the only reason you're praising him is because you want to get something out of him. So in that instance, really, you're harming the one that you're praising, because you're getting his enemies more riled up against him. And therefore, one really has to cease from such speech because of that. And really, this second category of speech, one also has to refrain from. So, first category, complete harm. Second category is harmful, but has an aspect of benefit. Now, this can be very common. You want to get a raise, so you go and you butter up your boss. You butter up your boss, you start telling him all kinds of things that are ultimately harmful maybe to someone else, but beneficial to him and to you. Oh, so the Rambam says the second category where there's benefit and harm, really one should stay away from. The third category of speech, that speech that you gain nothing, you lose nothing. Like the majority of the story that common folk tell. So there's stories that go around. People tell you, "Oh, I remember when Gesha Mitreim, how that was built. I remember that when this wall of this city was built." Or they start telling you stories about how they built this and this palace. Or they start telling you, "Ah, I was in Spain, I saw this beautiful house." When you start telling someone, you gain nothing by telling them, you lose nothing by telling them. Or you tell me, "No, in this country they have such wonderful fruit." There are other things like this, from things that are really superfluous. So the wise man said, this category of speech is also unnecessary. It's not beneficial. You gain nothing from it. And the fourth category of speech, that speech that is all benefit. Kigon hadibu b'madei muvmalot. For example, speaking to someone about science. I don't know what malot is. V'dibu ha'adam b'inyanim hanogim lo. Or speaking to someone about things that are relevant to them. Mima sheyesh bo kiyum chayuto. Things that are relevant to his making a living. V'atmadam etziuto. For a person staying around, you tell him, "U'vezer o'il edaber." This you should really talk about. Amal, so the wise man said, "Kol zman shani shumea davar," whenever I hear something, "ani bochno," I analyze it. "Im mitzativ," if I find it to be min achelek hazeh harvi'i, that it fits into this fourth category, it's beneficial. There's what to be gained from this conversation, and there's nothing harmful in it. "Dibalti bo," then I speak. I join the conversation. "V'im haya min hashar," but if it's one of the other three categories, "shatakti mimenu," then I'm silent. "Amru bale amidot," "Yitbonen ba'adam hazeh v'chokhmato, sheshmit shloshet uveh advarim, v'zo chokhma sh'ra'uy litneg ba." The people who are masters of what's good traits, they say, "Look at this wise man. Three quarters of the speech he cut out. And this is the wise way in which a person should behave." "V'ani umer," and the Rambam says, "but I say, ki adibur nechlak lefi chovat to'atenu chamisha chalakim," that speech can be divided according to the Torah's obligation into five categories. "Mitzuvebo," speech that we're commanded to do. "Umuzar alav," and speech that we're warned about. "Umuruchak," and speech that we're supposed to distance. "Viratzui," and speech that's good, that's willed. "Vilshut," and speech that's just permissible. "Hachelek harishon vuam tzuvebo," the first section of speech that we're commanded about. "Hukriyat ha-Torah v'limuda v'ayun v'perusha," that's reading Torah, learning Torah, and analyzing the explanations of the Torah. "V'zo mitzvata seshnitz tevenu b'avadibalta va." Bam. And this is the biblical commandment that we're commanded to speak in Torah. "V'ikmochol mitzvot," and that's like all mitzvot. "V'chvar ne'ma v'chizuk v'ziruz al alimud, ma shelo yechil chibur zeh, afilud miktzato." And our sages said, so much encouraging us to learn Torah, that I can't even encompass a little bit of it in this work. Chazal speak all the time about the importance of learning Torah. So the first category of Torah, which is our responsibility, we're commanded to do, that's a category of speech that we're commanded to do, that's understood. Achelik Hashini, the second category is Huadibur Shon Nesal, the speech we're prohibited from. We're warned not to speak that speech. Kigon Edu Cheto, for example, giving false testimony, Vakazav, or lying, Valchilut, or telling, going around telling people's information, Varigul, or spying on people and giving over information, Vakidufim, or cursing. Bekama Mikot Batorah Morim Achelik Hazeh, and you have all kinds of verses in the Torah that tell us about this category of speech, and included in this is vulgar speech and lashon hara, telling over bad things about other people. So that is prohibited in the Torah. Guys, did you know vulgar speech is prohibited? Vulgar speech refers more to speaking about things that are immodest. Swearing might be included in it, but not necessarily. Chazal, when they speak about nivlus peh, vulgar speech, they're talking about speaking about things that are immodest. An example that the Gemara gives is everyone knows what's going to happen the night of the wedding, and anyone who speaks about it, it's considered that's vulgar speech that Chazal say brings about a wrath from God, that even the orphans aren't saved from that wrath. God says, that's one thing I hate, vulgar speech. So Chazal said, a person has to be modest, even when a person's with his own wife. So no one's supposed to know about it, and he's not supposed to talk about it. And there's a cherem, a woman's not allowed to let people know the night she goes to mikveh, because everyone knows there's a mitzvah that night the couple's going to be together. She's not allowed to tell anyone that tonight she's going to mikveh. Private things have to be private, and anyone who's vulgar about them, so that's prohibited. What? Nivul te. Yeah, peh is the mouth. Nivul is dirtying. V'achelik ha'shlishi, the third category of speech, v'adibur ha'muruchak, that speech that should be distanced. V'adibur she'en bo toel la'adam atzmo, that speech that there's no benefit for man from that speech. Lo mishmat v'lo meri, you don't learn from it to follow the Torah, you don't learn from it to rebel against the Torah. Kigon rov sipurei ha'monim me'era u'ma'aya, like the stories of the masses, what happened, what the stories that happened. Ve'echid na'agut melech ploni ba'amono, and how does this king behave in his castle? Ma'ita sibat moto shel ploni, or why did so-and-so die? You see people come to Sheva, the first thing they ask, why did he die? Says, what's the point? Who cares? What's the difference? Or shro shel ploni, or people start talking, he's so wealthy, Bill Gates has this many millions, you know, the conversation that guys have. If Bill Gates sees a $100 bill on the floor, should he bend down to pick it up? If he's making so many thousands of dollars a second, a minute, so for him to bend down and pick it up, he loses money, right? So that's pointless speech. The Rambam says, when you talk about someone's wealth or why someone died, this is what our sages call idle chatter. So it's not prohibited, but it should be distanced. And the pious people try very hard to distance themselves from things like this. Amru al Rav, our sages said about the great Rabbi Rav, who was Talmid, the disciple of Rabbi Chia, Shelosach Sichab Telam Yamav, that he never spoke this idle chatter. V'chen min achelek hazeh, sheigane adam ma'ala yishabach migrat, ben shaydam min dotito egyonit. And amongst this is that a person will say, what should I be modest for? He takes a positive trait, and he knocks it. Or he takes a negative trait, and he says, it's really good. I like to eat, I like to be fat, I'm not interested in a diet. What do you mean? It's not good for you. So that's not the way you should talk. Is it prohibited? No. Is it intelligent? Also not. So an intelligent person distances himself. This is the third category of speech.
What would like idle chatter or superfluous speech, what would the word for that be?
Sicha, speech, bitteila, that is ultimately nullified. Bit tit Lamed Hey. Yeah. The fourth category of speech, according to the Rambam, who haratzui. That's the speech that is really good speech. It's not the speech that's a mitzvah, but it is positive. V'hu adibu b'shevach ha'malot ha'egyoniot v'amidotiyot. That's speaking when you praise the good traits. You speak about how good it is to be a modest person, how good it is to be a kind person. You're not performing a mitzvah, but what you're saying is worth saying. Uvignuta migrot, or you describe how bad it is to be miserly, how bad it is to be cruel. You speak about how how derogatory the lacking of traits is. Mishnei asugim yachad. And sometimes you want to arouse people to good things with different songs or ballads or tunes. Or you sing songs that also encourage people to distance themselves from bad traits. So that's good. And so to praising wise people and speaking about how important and how elevated they are. The purpose of praising the wise is to make people emulate them, to make people look up and value their good behavior. Or to shame the wicked and to point out their faults. A person sees Olmert and he might say, "Ah, I want to be like Ehud, right? I want to be like Mike." You tell him, "No, Mike is a lowlife. Mike doesn't have a life." You tell the kids, "What's Mike's life all about?" So then the kids learn. I remember when I was a kid, so there were these relatives, like distant relatives, who we met like once, you know, those relatives like your mother's second cousin's kids. So we met him like once on a Shabbos. And I remember as a kid, I was shocked. I must have been 5 years old. And this girl takes me into their living room, and they have a Shabbos clock, and the TV turns on. And they all walk in, and Michael Jackson is playing. So I don't know who Michael Jackson is. But she's all excited. That's Michael Jackson. That's Michael Jackson. And her father sneaks into the room, and he's also watching on Shabbos. They're all watching Michael Jackson. To me, this was a new thing. Like, I never saw a TV turn on a Shabbos clock. I never saw Michael Jackson before in my life either. And I remember how after they're all watching this, so the kid walks around and discusses how she wants to be like Michael Jackson. Okay, and this was a new thing for me. I'd never heard of Michael Jackson. It's important sometimes to point out what's lacking. It's not enough to tell someone, to tell our kids the first part of the Rambam. Look at him, he's a good person, he's an intelligent person, learn from him. It's also important to point out to the kids, this isn't a human being, this is a person that's ruined their life, this is a person that has that needs a psychiatrist, and one isn't enough. They can't decide if they're male, if they're female, if they're fit to be a parent, if they're not fit to be a parent. The world would be a much better place if no one knew they existed. I'm not saying they should drop dead, but the media certainly shouldn't focus on them dangling a baby out the window. That's not exactly the role model we want to give our kids. The Rambam says, speech that is praiseworthy is speech that also points out the lackings of the wicked, so that people will be disgusted with their actions. And people will be disgusted with their memory. And people will distance themselves from them, and they won't go in their footsteps. It's important to take note. Both sides are important. It's not a mitzvah, but it is speech that's called praiseworthy. Ve'yesh, so ויש שנקרא החלק הזה, כלומר לימוד המידות הטובות והתרחקות מהמידות השפלות דרך ארץ. And sometimes we say that this portion of speech is what's called derech eretz. How are you supposed to behave? You want to teach your kids derech eretz? You got to teach them what's good and what's bad. And sometimes you got to teach them by example. If you have a guest that walks into your house, sits down for the meal, and starts burping. Now, your kids are sitting there, they're going to learn that it's perfectly okay to burp in front of the host. He sits there and he does all kinds of rude things. You want to do correct chinuch to your kids, you got to tell them after the meal, kids, that's not how we behave. You got to, by the same token that you teach a kid what's right, you got to also tell them that's wrong. Very often kids can be attracted to things. Part of our job in chinuch is to tell them, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. That's called derech eretz. This, says the Rambam, is the type of speech which is important. It's a type of speech which is recommended, and it's not a mitzvah, but it is recommended speech. Now, I remember for many years I had a hard time. Why teach by example? I see that Ben is very bothered by the example I just gave. And I also, when my parents told me this, I was also very bothered with it, because I felt like, you know what, you can teach kids without example. And then I had the good fortune of Baruch Hashem having children, and Baruch Hashem having many guests. And amongst those guests, the fair share of people who do things that are leave their hearts to be desired. And I saw how the kids, for some reason, have this tendency to quickly learn from the people who behave in improper fashion. And sometimes you can nip things at the bud and teach things best when right after the guest leaves, you tell the child, that's not the way you behave. Don't do things that way. And sometimes that message can stay with a child for a long time. And I don't know, I still have this question in my mind, but I think the Chafetz Chaim addresses this issue somewhere about the importance in chinuch to tell kids what's right and what's wrong. But maybe I'm still looking for a source. I don't remember if the Chafetz Chaim writes that you're allowed to, from the Dinim of Lashon Hara, to tell a child about a specific person's behavior. We have to check. We have to check.
What's the source for all this?
This is the Rambam. What we're reading now is the Rambam on the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Tetzain in the first chapter. B'chalek ha-chamishi in the fifth section, hu ha-reshut, that speech that's permissible. Hu ha-dibur b'mashnu gal adam b'mischa'o parnasato, that speech about things that pertain to a person with his business, with his parnasa, with his making a livelihood, u'machalo, mishteo, and pertains to what he's going to eat and drink, u'malbusho, what he wears, v'yeta kotzachav, and everything else he needs. Zereshut, and that's permitted, eino lo ratzui v'lo meruchak. It's not something that we recommend, it's not something that we say don't do. We say it's permissible, whatever you want. Eleim ratzah, rashai ledaber bo kama sheyotze. If you want to, you're permitted to speak about it as much as you want, says the Rambam. V'im ratzah yishtok, and if he wants, he'll be silent. U'v'chelek hazeh nivchal la'adam miyut ha'dibur. And in this section we say, less is preferable. V'sifrei ha'muzar mazirim el arbot bo, and the works that speak about how we should behave, they warn us not to speak too much in this section, which is not prohibited, it's not recommended. You could do whatever you want. Aval ha'asu v'amruchak, but when it comes to speech that's prohibited, that you should distance yourself from, harei en tzarich lomar, that speech, I don't need Rabbi Shimon to tell me. Rabbi Shimon isn't going to tell you, don't talk Lashon Hara. That's obvious. I don't need Rabbi Shimon for that. But when it comes to speech that's a mitzvah, that's good speech, if one could spend his whole life with that speech, that's the purpose. Ela shehu tzarich im ze shnei dvarim. But a person has to have two things together with this. Ha'echad, firstly, she'yuma asav matimim ladvarim, that his actions should fit his speech. Kmo she'omrim ne'im dvarim ha'yotzim mipi'osehim. The speech has to match the actions, and it's fitting for a certain speech to be said from people who perform. Ve'alinyan ze amalkan, and that's why Rabbi Shimon taught us over here, lo amidrashu ha'ikar la'maaseh. The main thing isn't just talking about keeping the Torah, it's actually keeping the Torah. Not enough that you spend all day learning at Mahon Mir and at night you go and bum out. No. The whole point is to keep what you're learning. B'chachamim umrim, lechasidam lemedet amidot analot. Our sages used to say, if you have a pious person who's teaching you how to behave, derosh, fine, you could speak. Ulechana elidrosh, and you're fitting to speak. Meaning, before you start telling people this is how you should behave, you got to live up to that. We once had a guy at Mahon Mir who went and got engaged, and he learned and kol kavod to him, and then he went to the country where he came from, put out his tzitzis, and wore a hat and a jacket, and grew long peis, and when he'd visit his kala, he wasn't shomer negiah. So her father calls us up and says, what kind of guy did you teach? The guy's a bum. What do I care if he stands and chuckles and wears a gartel and a hat and a jacket and payas and a beard and he reads books of chassidut and he says he wants to learn in kolel all day? The guy doesn't keep negiah. I see him and my daughter kissing out, making out next to my house. That's a ben Torah? Hey, what do I care if he's dressed all like this? The father wanted to break off the shidduch. So what were we supposed to tell him? The guy just showed up at Mechon Meir a year ago and he's learning, and their externals are the easiest thing to put on, and the internal he's still working on. But then what's he speaking to the father? Why is he giving Musar Shmuzin? Chazal tell us, before you speak and tell other people about how to behave, you have to live up to it yourself. Lechan elidrosh, our sages said, if you're a pious person and you're teaching the traits, so then you're fitting to be the one to give the speech. V'amar ha-Navi, even when it comes to praising Hashem, when a person is straight, he's the one that it's nice when he gives praise. And the second point we have to remember even though we have a mitzvah to talk in Torah, but we have to try to learn from Polonius, right? Brevity, yeah, Shakespeare. Yeah. Brevity is the soul of wit. Wit. I think so. It's been quite a few years. But there were good points. This above all to my own. But the point is, Chazal told us this concept long before Shakespeare, that a person should try to minimize his speech, try to get as much information in as little as possible words. A person should try to encompass as many things as possible with as few words as possible. Not that it should be the exact opposite, like most people do. They repeat the same thing 10 times, they say it one thought, they express in 10 different angles with 10 sentences. That's what our sages taught us. One should always teach his student in the shortest possible fashion. And now the Rambam is going to enter a realm which is just interesting. Vida, says the Rambam, ki hashirim. The Rambam is going to talk to us about songs. And not only Jewish songs. You should know that the songs, hamchubarim, that are composed, be'ezo safa shetiyeh, in any language, says the Rambam. I don't care if it's a song in English, in Arabic, or in Hebrew, or any other language. Einam nivchanim el alefin yaneim. If you want to analyze a song, whether it's worthwhile or not, you have to look at the content of the song. Ve'yesh linhog bahem bederech hadibur shekvar chilaknuhu. And the way we treat songs is the same way in which we treat speech, the way we just divided the 5 types of speech. Meaning, if you're praising good traits in the song, good. If you're degrading bad things in the song, also good. If you're saying foul mouth in the song, bad. If you're saying vulgar things in the song, bad. That shouldn't be included. But says the Rambam, when we're analyzing whether a song is a positive or a negative song, we analyze it based upon the content. Vehutzrachti leveretz, and I felt the need to explain this, as the Rambam. Ve'afal pishu pashut, even though it's simple. Mipnei sheraiti, the reason I felt the need to explain this point is because I've seen gedolim chasidim umatenu, great people and pious people amongst our nation, inis damnu b'msibat mishteh o chatuna o zulata. If they come to a party, a wedding, some kiddush or some other festive occasion, v'ratza adam lashir b'safa ha'aravit, and a person wants to get up and sing in Arabic, v'afilu haya inyan oto ashir b'shevach ha'omets, and even if he's singing a song praising courage, o harzinut, or praising being a serious person, sheze min ha'chelek ha'ratzui, that's really good speech, says the Rambam. What do I care that it's an Arab song about praising being a brave person? It's still positive. O b'shevach ha'yayin. Or, if he wants to praise wine. Mamchin al kach b'chol ofen shel macha'a. They get up and they protest in every form of protest. Ve'inam materin l'shomon. They refuse to let anyone hear this person sing because he's singing in Arabic. Ve'im zamaram zamer eze piyut min ha'piyutim ha'ivrim. But if a person wants to sing a song in Hebrew, en mamchin b'kach, then they don't protest. And that they don't mind. They don't find it difficult. Even though the content of the song includes things that really we're not allowed to say. Or things that we shouldn't say. We should distance ourselves from them. If a person is going to sing things that are vulgar, or things that are less than modest, or he's going to sing about things that really shouldn't be spoken about, so then they say, yeah, but he's singing in Hebrew, it's kosher. It's a kosher song. Says the Rambam, v'ze sichlut mukhletet. And this is complete idiocy, says the Rambam. Lefi she'ena dibur asur mutar v'ratzui umruchak umtzave le'umro mechamat ha'safa shu ne'mar ba. You don't decide whether something is prohibited or permitted. If it's something that's positive or should be distanced, if it's a mitzvah to say it or not, that isn't decided based upon what language the words are said. Ela mechamat inyano, you decide it based upon what is the content. Shimaya inyano toshil davar na'ala, for if the concept, if the point of the song is something that's positive, Then you should say it, regardless of the language. And if the point of the song was something that's really lacking, really one has to hold back from singing that song, regardless of the language. Ela, but says the Rambam, sheyesh b'zeh ledati leosif. Really, we should add a point to this. Let's say you have two songs and they both revolve around the same point. Now the Rambam's really giving it in to these people. The Rambam's coming full circle and he says, let's say you have two songs and they're both talking about how good it is to have desire. So that's not something we should sing about. But these two songs are both talking about how good it is for a person to live his life around desire. I want a car, I want a girl, I want a house. He's talking about what he wants. That's the song. And he tries to tell you about how good it is if you only have these things. Shazomi grad, but this isn't a good song. This is the type of speech that one should distance himself from that. Because it arouses a person, umizarez, and really spurns a person on, lemida pchuta, to a trait that is really lacking, kamoshim mit be'er bedvarim beperkarbi, as we've explained in the fourth chapter of our introduction. Now, let's say you have these two songs, they're both the same concept, they're both negative songs. Vaya echad apiyutim ivri, except for one of the songs were in Hebrew, vashini aravi o parsi, another song they were going to sing in Arabic or Persian. So says the Rambam, Hare Shmiata Ivri veHadibur bo. In this instance, hearing the song in Hebrew or saying it in Hebrew, Yoter Meruchak LeDat HaTorah Mechamat Kedushat HaSafa. That song in Hebrew is even worse, says the Rambam, because the language of Hebrew is a holy language. And so, as far as the Torah is concerned, which one is sinning more? The one who's saying it in Hebrew. Rambam went full circle. Says, not only do we not judge by the language, but if the content of the song is negative, so then you're doing even worse by singing it in Hebrew. The language of Hebrew should only be used for elevated things. And certainly if they sing this love song and part of what they're adding into the song is they quote verses from the Torah or Mishir HaShirim or from the Song of Songs, in this derogatory concept, they take a concept of love and they start quoting verses from Shir HaShirim, which on the surface the verses of Shir HaShirim are quite erotic. So you want to take a love song, you want to take a song and arouse people to things that you shouldn't be arousing them. It's very easy to quote verses from Shir HaShirim. So that b'oto inyan sheze yotze kvar min achelek hamruchak el achelek asur. Once you've done that, says the Rambam, then this song is not only a song that should be distanced, that's improper, but it enters the realm of a prohibited song, that we're warned in the Torah not to sing such a song. It's not only recommended to be distanced, but it's already prohibited. For the Torah prohibits us from taking the words of the prophet and changing them into a song that's really a derogatory song, a song that's lowly. We can sing in our Shabbos Miros verses in praise of Hashem. That's beautiful. But to take a pasuk and use it for a love song, to take a pasuk and use it for derogatory songs, songs that are really improper, that is a prohibition. And being that we've mentioned Lashon Hara in discussing the type of speech that's prohibited, I want to explain a little bit about Lashon Hara. And I'll mention some of what our sages said. Because when it comes to Lashon Hara, people are completely blind. It's amazing how blind people are when it comes to Lashon Hara. They're amazingly blind, says the Rambam. And that is the most weighty sin that people continuously err in this area. And specifically what our sages taught us, that when it comes to the dust of Lashon Hara, a form of Lashon Hara that's called Avak Lashon Hara, that Chazal say every day every person sins in that type of Lashon Hara. And Halvai, says the Rambam, if only it weren't that we err in real, full-fledged Lashon Hara every day. Explains the Rambam. V'lashon hara, what is Lashon Hara? Hu sipur migrat b'nei adam. That's telling over a person's lacking. He's dumb. He's got bad breath. He's short. Maybe short. We'll see that short probably also falls under Lashon Hara. Umumeyim, or telling a person's faults. Any way you put a person down, we're not talking about in front of him, anything you say that's derogatory about a person falls under the category of Lashon Hara. Even though the truth is he is that way, he's short, yeah he is short, but you're putting him down. He has bad breath, yeah he has bad breath, but you're saying something derogatory about him. Because Lashon Hara is not that you lie about the person. Lashon Hara is not about saying something that's untrue, saying that he did something that he didn't do. That, says the Rambam, that's motzi shem ra, that's just giving him a bad name. But Lashon Hara is, hu ginuy adam, that's just shaming a person, that's speaking derogatorily about a person, even about things that he certainly did. The Haomro, and anyone who tells them over, chote, he is sinning. The Shomeo, and anyone who listens to them, is also chote, he's also sinning. Amru, our sages taught us, shlosha lashon hara oreget, lashon hara kills three. Haomro, the one who tells it over, v'ashomo, and the one who listens to it, v'shomrin alav, and the person that they tell it over about. The omro hamikablo, the amrun, our sages taught us, hamikablo yotam min omro. The one who listens to Lashon Hara is sinning even more than the one who says it over. And that's an important point. Very often we think, I'm an innocent bystander. He's doing the talking. What did I do? I just listened. Our sages said, no. The listener is sinning even more than the one who talks. Va'avak Lashon Hara, and what is this that our sages say is the dust of Lashon Hara? Hu arimuz bemume adam mibli leomram beferush. That's alluding to a person's fault without saying them explicitly. Yeah, you know him. I don't say more than that. You know him.
I don't know.
Right? Yeah. They call you up about a guy for a shidduch, and you say, he's good, yeah.
He's alright.
Right?
Yeah.
So, that's called the dust of Lashon Hara. That we say something negative by allusion. Amar Shlomo, King Solomon said, "B'mishem ramez," about someone who hints. Ve'hiyotam ramez mare she'ino yudea ma she'evinu midvarav. And the person makes believe like, I don't know, did I say something bad? Ve'shehu lo nitkaven lekach. He makes believe like, he didn't mean it that way, ela nitkaven inyan acher, but he meant something else. Amar, King Solomon said about that person, "K'mitlalea hayorea zikim chitzim v'mavet." Like a person who's joking around and he's shooting arrows with poison, with fire, he's shooting death. So too is a person who's fooling his friend. He's saying, I was just kidding. What do you want from me? I was just joking. Can't you take a joke? Come on. So Shlomo HaMelech already had this in his time. That's a Avak Lashon Hara. Person who just says something by illusion, and our sages told us every one of us does it every single day. Every single day we say some kind of remark that we're in effect inadvertently saying something negative about someone. We didn't say it directly. Upam shibech echad hachachamim ketav shel sofer mesuyam sheru lo b'msibat gdola. There was once a wise man that they showed him the works of another wise man, and he was at a great party, and he said, wow, this is wonderful, what great works he wrote. Umicha rav bezeh, and the rabbi who was present protested. Sheshibech tavoto asofer. He protested that he was praising him. Va'amar, and he said, va'amar lo, he said to him, kalach min lashon hara, distance yourself from speaking lashon hara. Why? Rotze lomar, what he meant to say, ki b'ma she'atam shabcho barabim ata gorem lo bizayon. By the fact that you're praising him publicly, you're causing him shame. Why? Sheyesh be'em ohava v'yesh be'em sonav. All the people are hearing you praise this work. Some of the people like him, some of the people hate him. V'yitztarech son'o k'sheyishma shivcho. And his enemy, when he hears him being praised, he will feel compelled lesaper migrotav, to point out where he's lacking. You know, you stand up and you say, oh, he finished Shas 15 times. He's the greatest sage. He's the nicest person. So someone sitting in the crowd is going to say, yeah, and yesterday he saw me with my finger sticking out and he didn't give me a ride. Huh? Did I say something so bad? So we're taught a rule by Chazal. If you stand publicly and praise someone, you're causing people to react. There are people around who have something negative to say, and they're going to say it. There are people around who don't like him so much. Like that, or differently. Most often people don't react exactly against. They'll just say something.
So, is there something you can say about? Like if I say, oh, Rob Lugo, he's a real smart fellow, that would be okay, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, why do you think any person, I don't know a person in this world that doesn't have enemies. I don't know. And usually the more you do, the more people hate you.
From what I learned about it, I noticed that you can say something. I thought I learned something.
Could be. I don't know. And this is a great distancing that our sages told us to distance ourselves from Lashon Hara. V'Lashon HaMishnah, and the Mishnah says, Lo nechtam gzar din al avotenu b'midbar, ela Lashon Hara. Our sages' fate was sealed in the desert because of one sin alone, because of Lashon Hara. Klomar inyan amraglim, meaning the Mishnah is referring to the story of the spies. Sha'amar bahem, that the Torah describes their actions as vayotziu dibat haaretz. They gave a bad name to the ground. They took out all the bad they could say about the land of Israel, they said. V'amru aleim ha-shalom, and our sages said we could learn from this. Uma elu she'otziu shemra al ha'etzim v'al ha'avanim bilvad. Look, these spies, who did they give a bad name to? To wood, to stones, to the earth. Nitchayvu mina onesh ma shenitchayvu. They got such a hefty punishment. Hamdaber bignut chavero, if someone speaks derogatorily about his fellow man, alachat kama v'chama, how much more so will he be punished? Velashon ha-tosefta, and our sages said in the Braisa of the Tosefta, al shlosha dvarim nifrim min ha-adam ba'olam hazeh ve'en lochel k'olam haba. There are three things that they'll take a person to task in this world, and he has no portion in the world to come. Avodah zarah, gilu ariyot v'shpichut tamim, idol worship, adultery, and murder. V'lashon hara keneged kulam. And lashon hara weighs in corresponding to all of them. V'amru b'talmud, and our sages taught us in the Talmud, there's a beautiful Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara has a page or two all about lashon hara. So the Gemara over there says, "Ne'emar b'avodah zarah milat gadol v'omro anachatam zechata gdola." It says in the Torah the word "gadol," great, about the sin of idol worship. When the Jewish people served the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God and he said, "The nation has sinned a great sin, chata'a gedola." V'ne'emar gam b'avon gilui arayot, and by the sin of adultery, it also says the word "gadol," great. V'huomro, that's what Yosef tells the wife of Potiphar. V'echeyeseh ra'ah ha'gedolah hazot, how can I do such a great harm, such a great evil act? V'ne'emar gam b'avon shlichut tamim milat gadol, and when it comes to murder, it also says the word great, as the verse says, when Cain killed Abel, he said, gadol avonim minaso, my sin is too great to carry. V'ne'emar b'lashon hara, but when it comes to lashon hara, there the word that's used is gedolot. Multiple great. Rotze lomar, as the verse says, the verse is indicating shu keneged shloshtan, that lashon hara corresponds to these three weighty sins. V'hu omro, and that's what the verse says, lashon medaberet gedolot, the tongue that talks great things. V'dibru ba'avon hazeh ha'arur harbe meod meod, and our sages spoke a lot about this cursed sin. V'tachlit ma she'amru, and the essence of what our sages said is, kol hamsaper b'lashon hara kafar b'ikar. All who say lashon hara are really denying the basic principle. Sheneemar, as the verse says, asher amru l'lshonenu nagbir sefateinu. They say our tongues will become powerful. Miadon lanu. Who's our master? When a person speaks and he doesn't recognize that it's someone's above, he just lets his tongue flow. In essence, what he's saying in this moment is, I'm the boss. I'll say what I want. And I've quoted a little of what our sages said about the sin.
Ve'afal pi she'erachti, and even though I've gone on and on about it, says the Rambam, it's been a little bit long, kedei she'itrachek mimenu adam kefi yecholto, because really one should distance himself from this sin as much as he can, ve'asim matrato lishtok min ha'chelek hazeh she'badibur. And his focus should be to distance himself from this section of speech. I think we should take another minute and just finish the chapter. There's one more Mishnah. We'll do one more Mishnah and a small section of Rambam. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, al shlosha dvarim ha'olam kayam, the world exists based on three things, al hadin ve'al ha'emet ve'al ha'shalom, on justice, truth, and peace. Explains the Rambam, hadin, justice, hu hanagat hamdina betzedek, that's the government, that the city, that the country acts with a justice system. And I've already explained earlier in the introduction, in the fourth chapter, that truth is from the logical traits that a person should attain. That shalom, and when it comes to peace, that's from the elevated traits that a person should attain. And when one attains these three great elevated traits, or three great elevated states of being, tiyam tziut betachlit ashlemut, then existence will be in the essence of wholeness, haefsharit, the greatest wholeness that is possible, belisafek uvelitikpuk, without doubt, without any pikpuk, which is another word for really doubt. Undoubtedly, this will be the best way for mankind to live. What we saw today, our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, taught us that the best thing is silence. The Rambam quoted a wise man who broke down speech into four sections. The Rambam broke it down into five sections. And the Rambam says that Rabbi Shimon really taught us that when it comes to speech, that is, you gain nothing, you lose nothing. About that, he said, try to distance yourself from that as much as possible. Speaking Torah is excellent, provided that you perform. Person shouldn't talk when he himself isn't performing. The Rambam went off on a tangent and explained that when it comes to song, we evaluate a song just like we evaluate speech. We don't look at the language, we look at the content. If the content is positive, it's a positive song. If it's negative, it's a negative song. And then the Rambam went on to just give us an outline of Lashon Hara and Avak Lashon Hara and the weight of Lashon Hara and how much we have to distance ourselves from it, that it weighs in corresponding to the three major sins, Shvichut Tamim, Gilui Arayot, and Avodah Zarah, and Lashon Hara weighs in corresponding to all of them, and how careful a person has to be to distance himself from them. And we concluded the chapter with the three things that the world can exist upon: peace, justice, and truth. When you have these three, then the world can exist as whole as possible.